Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
We've been so lucky in the games the last 24 hours, Australia. We've seen a massive gold rush, as you've heard, recently, but unfortunately, there are going to be some losers when it comes to certain sports. You know, not everyone can be a winner. You can share gold medals like other sports, but unfortunately, if you lose a match, the best thing to do is be the gracious loser and, you know, congratulate the winner and then make your exit wherever it may be.
Mm.
That's the way most people go about it. Not Novak Djokovic, who decided to start throwing his tennis racket into the net and lost bronze, and then he didn't even turn up for the bronze medal mixed doubles against...
What was up with that?
Yeah, with Jordan Pierce and also Ash Barty. So well done to those two.
You see...
Didn't even turn up.
The Joker lost his temper, and then all the ball boys and ball girls were, like, covering their throats.
Like Darth Vader was around or something.
Yeah.
Here we go again. And also another person who wasn't so much of a gracious loser was a French super heavyweight boxer by the name of Mourad Aliyev. He was versing British boxer Fraser Clark in their quarterfinal match.
Mm.
Unfortunately, with 4 seconds to go, Mourad was actually disqualified from the bout.
Why is that?
Apparently, intentional headbutting. I know. Intentional headbutting. Usually in boxing, it's an accidental one. It's maybe a get too close on the clinch, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've hit that person in the head, then it's a bit of the tape is applied or whatever, and it's okay, docking points. This one, 4 seconds left, he gets disqualified.
Jeez.
How do you reckon he took this?
Not well.
Not well at all.
I mean, 4 seconds, all he had to do was hold out a little longer.
Yeah, no. You know what I mean? He went kind of full tantrum on this one, basically. You know, he threw the toys out of the cot, you know, when they were making the decision about who won the match. He was sitting outside the boxing ring on the apron looking a bit upset about the whole thing. And then rather than just, you know, take off, congratulate the winner and do whatever, he decided to sit there for half an hour and do some sort of a protest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A protest in front of no one, because there's no one really there except the judges.
That's right, because it wouldn't have a crowd.
Exactly. So it got to the point where eventually some of the French officials were kind of going, we need to sort of, you know, gave him a drink of water, trying to, you know, get him to leave. Eventually, after half an hour, he leaves, goes to the back. It's like, thank God, that's over. Comes back again and sits back next to the ring for another 15 minutes as well and continues his tirade
against
the judges and the officials, saying that he was basically robbed. He had the fight won. And basically, they already had the decision made up before the headbutt even happened and all this sort of stuff. Claiming a conspiracy. And this is where it gets even funnier. Like I mentioned, there is no one there in this arena. So he says, you know, like, I reckon this thing was fixed or whatever. You know, I won the fight. Everyone knows it. And this is the reaction he got, of course. You know, there's no one there. Once again, everyone knows it. You all agree with me, don't you? No one there whatsoever. Eventually, you know, he finally got taken away as well. But he claimed that he hadn't been warned by the referee about this aggressive headbutt.
Oh,
like there was no warning. He reckons it was just an instant disqualification. So that's what he's claiming with the whole situation. I'm blaming like a miscommunication when they're going in the final rounds. You know, the trainer was telling him, you know, he needs to get ahead on points, not lead with his head to get points.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Hutsy won't be with us much longer. He's got to go and feed the dolphins.
Dolphins,
real soon,
yeah, SeaWorld, Gold Coast. I don't know how I'm going to get up there, but, you know, I'll see if anyone's got a boat available. I can just tug along all the way up to the Gold Coast. That'll be handy.
He is sporting a blue SeaWorld polo shirt.
That's right.
That looks like something maybe the staff members there would wear. How did it end up in your collection?
Well, it's a very long story. It takes me way back. It's a hand-me-down from my cousin who went to the Gold Coast over 20 years ago, and then I've just somehow inherited it. It's just gone through a couple of sets of hands. Maybe it went missing one day in his collection because I liked it so much, and now here we are. 20 years later, I've still got it. Jokes on him.
Have you ever been to SeaWorld?
Look, I've never actually been to SeaWorld, but it's not what I told people when I used to work with them. I used to tell them I was a dolphin trainer, and they bought that whole thing for probably about 4 or 5 years. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I was part of the jet ski stunt team.
I haven't been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Probably maybe about 2000 or something.
So this doesn't actually hold any memories of the theme park. It just holds memories of all the BS that you tell people when you wear it.
It has memories of my ability to score clothes as hand-me-downs because my parents were too cheap to buy me brand new clothes. I would inherit my older cousin's clothes.
You know you can buy yourself new clothes now.
I could, but I could spend that money on video games. And
all right, fair enough. Sure. Yeah.
Tough choice.
There's only sort of a couple of items of clothing in my wardrobe that, you know, are what you would consider old, but I do have a Batman T-shirt.
Like an original.
Original, because when I was a teenager, man, I was right into Batman comics, and then the 1989 Batman movie with Michael Keaton came out.
You would have been in a frenzy when that came out.
Oh, my God. I can't tell you how excited I was. I had a T-shirt that had Batman on the front. He's like standing on a rooftop looking cool. The bat signals in the background. This is my favorite shirt. And I covered that thing in Batman buttons, like the little pin buttons.
Oh, no.
I reckon I had a good like 15 to 20 buttons on me. So when I showed up to watch that first screening of Batman, I was like, I'm the biggest fan here. You all can get stuffed. Yeah. Like, I had to show my support for The Dark Knight. I still have that. I tried that on recently, and it still fits. And it actually fits okay, which I was like, oh, look at this.
Oh, look, he's done well.
I can still wear this T-shirt that 15-year-old Brad wore. And then I realized, well, that's not a good commentary on how much I've grown. So it seems like I stopped growing at the age of 15. I have the muscle mass of a 15-year-old boy.
I can't get away with that. I actually got a photo in our family album of me going to see Batman, just like in the 1989 one. There was actually a Batmobile replica at the movie theater, which was I got a photo with it, and I'm wearing a Batman tracksuit. Unfortunately, I was about 3 when that came out, I will not be able to fit.
Can't fit into that anymore. Outfit,
unfortunately.
Well, I got the Batman T-shirt. Hutsy's got his beloved SeaWorld polo shirt. What have you got in the wardrobe? Those old items of clothing. We want to know why you hold on to them. Mm. Is there a special meaning behind them?
Sentimental.
Give us a call, 1-300-921-250, and tell us about your oldest item of clothing. Simon in Numbugga, welcome. Mm. What's the oldest piece of clothing in your wardrobe?
I've still got a T-shirt from the Summoner in Canberra from 1989.
That's back when it was a bit more R-rated, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I will preface it by saying that it does not quite fit in the same way that it used to.
Fair enough.
But technically, if I was the right size to wear it, it would fit.
Can you still smell the burnout, Simon? Can you still smell the rubber?
Still got the burnt rubber. And I've got about 8 of them. I think I went to 6 consecutive ones, so I've still got all those stacked up in the cupboard.
Yeah, do you still wear it as like a badge of honour around the place?
Oh, I wear some of the later ones. The early one genuinely doesn't look that good on.
Is it still, if you wear it around the house, is it a reminder of maybe the single life before, you settled down? Or?
I guess so, yeah, in a way. I guess it does. But it's still, it's pretty good. I think for the later ones, my girlfriend then, now wife, came with me anyway, so it was all good, yeah. But they were pretty wild, those earlier ones.
Yeah, I'll bet. I guess it's one of those old items of clothing where when you pull it out of the wardrobe, it reminds you of all those donuts you've seen, but then when you try to put it on, it reminds you of all the donuts you may have eaten. You're like,
100%.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that with us this morning, Simon. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no worries.
See ya. That's the problem with those old items of clothing. They do remind you of your thinner days as well.
They do. It seems like a lot of people on Facebook have been in a similar sort of sentiment. It's like basically bits of clothing to remind you of a certain event or a team you supported or something. Donna says 38 years she's had a Cronulla Sharks jersey. She got on her 16th birthday and she's now 54 this year.
Holding on to it so she can wear it to a premiership one day.
Yeah, they've won one premiership, so hopefully she was at that one. But, I like Rochelle's one as well because a very popular thing, I'm sure it was when you were at school as well, is when you finish year 12, you get the school jersey sort of thing.
Yeah, that year. Yeah,
names on the back and that sort of stuff.
Everyone signs it.
Yeah, Rochelle's got one from 1989 when she was in year 12 at Maruya High School.
Oh, wow.
Look at that one.
Look at that.
Yoo-hoo!
She's about to play like for the Test Rugby League.
It does. That's like, a very rugby like a Wallabies looking jersey. As well, yeah.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And we here on the far south coast know firsthand what it's like to see those tourist numbers dry up.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Know. 2019, 2020 summer gave us the bushfires, and then since then it's just wave after wave of COVID-19. Can't get them visitors numbers up. But, there might be a solution to this, and that solution is beer.
Oh, really? Coming from you as well. Usually that's not the solution. But it's
Homer say the cause of and solution for most of life's
It's not
problems.
Even 7 o'clock and you're talking about beer. This is great. Come on, I'm intrigued.
Up in Queensland, outback Queensland, there's a little town called Winton. Population?
Heard of that place?
875. Although, who knows, with the new census coming up, maybe that'll tip over to 880. Who knows? They've got a boom happening at the moment. Or maybe they will have. Especially when it comes to tourism, because they have started up their own brewery.
Nice.
Yeah.
That time, Winton.
They are basically, you know, they've got their own beer that is named after the town.
Cartons of their very own beer now being sold in local pubs across the Central West.
I think beer is synonymous to Western Queensland. I mean, we a lot of the times in 40-degree heat, so what better way to finish an afternoon off?
Yeah, it gets hot. That's, by the way, Deputy Mayor of Winton, Tina Elliott, but it gets hot there. Like, today, maximum of 35 degrees.
I like how she's basically in that whole chat, she's basically almost said they were borderline alcoholics without saying it. She's like, yeah, it gets really hot, so sometimes, you know, beer's easy to get them water.
Well, that's why they got the deputy mayor to speak on television, because the mayor was down at the pub, like, yeah, sampling the new Winton ale. Yeah, you know, when it's 35 degrees in winter, you can bet they sell a lot of beer at the Winton pub. But this is just a trial of this brewery. They're shipping the Winton beer out to other pubs, but it's the first time they've kind of had a brewery in that outback region of Queensland for about 110 years.
Yeah,
it's, and they're hoping it will lure in beer connoisseurs such as yourself to come and sample the local ale, collect the cans, that sort of thing.
I hope they've got like a shuttle bus that takes people to and from. That's what you really need. There's nothing worse than doing like a Griswold's where you turn all the way up to Wally World, you get to the gate, and then you realise they're shut for a week for renovations or something, going, no.
I don't know if a courtesy bus will run you home. Like, it's about, it's about 500 k's inland, but sure. Maybe
it'll be like a fuel tanker truck to try and get you home.
And, you know, Winton is a good place to name a beer after.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If you do start up a brewery, you've got to have a good name for your beer that
absolutely
captures people's
catchy
attention.
It has to be snappy.
Like our mates at Dalmeny, Cam.
Yeah.
You know, he's got Big Niles Brewery.
Fantastic.
But that's named after the dog.
Exactly. Rolls off the tongue.
If you're going to name your beer after a place, you got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can name it after a whole state like these guys did.
Victoria Bitter.
But, you know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah,
I can taste
the lockdown
every time
I have a
sip. Yeah.
Yeah, not great.
So I'm thinking, you know, if you wanted to start up a beer down here, there's plenty of places, you know, you could name your beer after if you set up a brewery in certain towns.
Oh, yeah, hit me. What do you got?
You know what I mean? Well, Greg's Flat Beer. No, that probably wouldn't work.
It doesn't sound too appetizing.
It doesn't.
Try again. What else?
Maybe not Greg's Flat, but there's plenty of other places to choose from. You know what I mean? It's not the first time that they've tried to pick a place up in Queensland to name a beer after. There was a place called Yorkie's Knob. Trust me, if you bring a six-pack of Yorkie's Knob to a barbecue, no one's pinching a can of that out of the esky. You'll be safe.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.